I'm Ruby.
And I'm Elijah.
And welcome to Rough Edges.
So back again, and we've got two special guests on this episode. They go by the name of Carl and June, and they've been in a 40-year plus marriage.
Yeah,
for some time now, and they're just going to tell us a bit about how they became Christians and what 40 years of their marriage has looked like. So yeah,
so the first question is, how did I become a Christian? It's a bit of a strange story. I grew up in a Caribbean household. I'm a St. Lucian born, and so when my twin sister and I was very young, we discovered that we used to go to the Sunday school that was across the road from where we lived, and it was run by obviously a lot of white middle class people, and but what they had in their favor was they used to tell Christian stories, Bible stories that came to life. And we used to love the stories. We used to go to church every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock onwards, just to hear these Bible stories. And then we'd stay for tea and then the church service and then come home. And my parents didn't mind because they knew where we were. But as time went on, our lives were not easy. My parents were very strict. But Joan and I discovered that if we prayed to this person called Jesus, if we prayed, somehow we didn't get told off or smacked or that sort of thing. And then we decided that we really wanted to get to know this person called Jesus better. Now, remember, we were only about seven at the time, and we thought we had to, I don't know, write a letter and post it and see whether or not he would accept us. Mm-hmm. But somehow we realized that all we needed to do was invite him into our lives and just keep talking to him as we did to each other. And we found that the more we talked to him and just told him about what was going on in our lives, the more of him we discovered. And yeah, so that was the start of my journey.
Thank you. Okay. And Carl, should you share a bit about how you became a Christian?
I had quite a troubled childhood, and my so I had issues with abandonment and gang affiliation, and I was just a very troubled person. So my whole youth was got into petty crime really early on in my life. Probably I broke into the first house when I was 9 years old, ended up getting a criminal record as I progressed. And I just felt really absolutely lost inside, and I was very angry, an angry man as well, a young man. And that made me aggressive. But I just, most of all that aggression came out of my lostness. I just felt totally lost. And I wasn't interested in Christianity at all. In fact, I did believe in God, but I hated him because I hated the life I was leading. But he seemed to be a God that seemed to be pursuing me, though I wasn't pursuing him. And God seemed to be doing a move in my area where I was, and gang members were finding Jesus. And it was during that time that I was asking some questions, but I felt the Holy Spirit, even though I wasn't a Christian, saying, come follow me, and come follow Jesus. But I didn't believe in Jesus. I just thought he was a mythical figure who maybe existed, but probably didn't. But a critical night came when a friend of mine gave his life to the Lord, and he asked me the question. He said, "Did I give my life to the Lord that particular night?" And I kind of indicated yes-ish, and I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to do something with that yes-ish, and I went home that night and I got on my knees for probably the first time before the Lord, and I think the first thing I said to him was, "Look, I do believe you're there, God. I've got no problem with that, but I've got a problem with this Jesus Christ stuff." And I said, "I really just find that hard to believe all that. But I said, if he's for real, I want him." And I felt the Lord speak to me while I was having this conversation. When I said, "Look, I find the Jesus Christ stuff," and I felt him say to me, "Well, you can't have me without him." And I said, "Well, if he's for real, I want him." And it's at that moment I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. He just came into my bedroom that, and it did a job on me, basically. And he removed all this anger in me, all the guilt and shame, you know, of all the messed up life I'd had. Even though I was only 15 years old, I'd done more rubbish than most people would have done at that age, you know. So I was verging on being an alcoholic even at that age, and on drugs and stuff like that. But the encounter just totally took me by surprise. I knew that I'd received the Holy Spirit, and I knew that all my sins were forgiven, and I knew that I had eternity put in my heart, because the fear of death just instantly left me. And I knew I was forgiven, and I knew my guilt was taken away. And I was absolutely surprised by it. And even though I was a reluctant Christian, to become a Christian, I've never looked back from that day. I'm so glad that I made the decision. I kind of just feel like God picked me off, you know, in a good way. And I don't know if I had a choice in the matter, you know. Yeah. I really don't, because it was not on my agenda to become a Christian. But I was so surprised by joy and surprised by what was in my heart that I thought, wow, this is what I've been looking for all my life. And that sense of abandonment, because my mum had drug issues. She was a heroin addict and basically left me, you know, when I was about 7 years old. So I was left with my grandparents to bring me up. And they weren't that completely... Well, my granddad didn't want me there, when he made that pretty clear to me. But I had no options, you know. But so... finding a Heavenly Father that loves me and wants me and has given me a name and an identity is just absolute mind-blowing. Mm. You know.
Great. Because I think I've known you both for a while now, but yeah. I've never heard the story of how you both met. How did you meet and where and how it happened?
So, I, in another life, I was a professional dancer, but it was I hadn't gotten. I'm not sure whether I'd gotten into the specialist dance school, but I was rehearsing at one place in one area. Anyway, I was rehearsing somewhere and with a whole dance group. And my dance teacher, one of them, the choreographers, said that they had just bought a house, a derelict house, off my land, Rhonda Grove that way. And did we want to see it? And it was the lunchtime. So we all piled into some cars and we all went down to have a look at this house, which needed a heck of a lot of work. But then it dawned on me by Len that my Sunday school teacher, who is also happened to be my RE teacher, lived literally like two roads along. And so me and my twin was there, so we both went off to say hi, and we just literally dropped in. But at the time, we were also part of, I think we had joined the Tower Hamlets Christian Church at the time, which was Mylan Christian Fellowship at the time, which was a house church. Mm. So we met in one another's homes, and it was very common just to knock on somebody's home at the time, and so we went along and during our lunchtime and knocked on, and they were in, and so Joan and I sat and had a cup of tea and just caught up with our friends. But then about a half an hour after we had arrived, maybe less, the door went again, and it was Carl at the door. And he, you had met them 3 weeks earlier?
Yeah.
And so he was passing, and he knocked on the door, and then so we just got chatting to this bloke, who I just thought he was handsome, very attractive. He had this blonde hair, this bright red leather jacket. I thought, wow, and he's a Christian. I thought, wow, Lord, this is amazing. Anyway. But I mean, yeah, I thought it was hot, but I was getting on with my Christian, my dance career, so I wasn't, looking for anything. But it turns out where he worked, my dance school was literally just down the road. He was at one end of Euston Road, and I was at King's Cross end, the other end. And when we discovered that we were working and studying roughly in the same place, we arranged to meet one lunchtime. So Carl says to me, I'll meet you on the Euston Road. Or anybody that knows the Euston Road, it's like saying, I'll meet you on Oxford Street on Saturday afternoon, And I just thought to myself, well, God, this is a week later. I thought, well, if I'm meant to meet this man, you're going to have to bring him to me, because I couldn't actually remember his face. Mm. All I could remember was the blonde hair and the jacket. That was it. That was all I could remember. And no sooner had I whispered that prayer in my breath, I felt a tapping on my shoulder, and I turned around and it was him. I knew all these people in London, and he was there. So, I went to his workplace. We had lunch there with the rest of his colleagues, and we started doing it regularly, just meeting up for once a week, perhaps, for lunchtime. He came to my dance college, and that's how we met.
Well, what we used to do, like, because we was right on the edge of the West End, on Friday nights we used to go straight from work. We used to go out and see a film of.
Yeah, but it didn't begin that way, though, did it?
No, not with so you, but that's on... what I used to do.
Oh, that's what he used to do, yeah.
And then I said, oh, we're going to go see that film Watership Down. And it was like, and she goes, oh, I want to see that film. I said, well, why don't you come with us lot? So, because we all went with it as a group, so we was all safe that way, you know. Mm. And then, but the night came and everybody bowed out. And it was just me and her. So we kind of, it wasn't official date, but it was like, it ended up kind of being, felt like a date, didn't it?
Yeah.
And
yeah, it was a bit awkward because my parents, I don't think, would have approved, but I didn't tell them. So.
But we enjoyed each other's company, so we decided to do it again.
But also, he was a breath of fresh air in my life, so yeah.
I think and then the second date was Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's great.
And how did you two start talking and get into go to church? Like, how did that become a conversation starter in your relationship?
So it was roughly around that same time, we started getting a stronger friendship within probably about 3 months of us first meeting.
We always disagree over this. Yes, he's right, but what he's alluring to is something more than a friendship, and it wasn't like that. It was because I wasn't having any of it, so... no, it wasn't. It was... No, it was a good way down the road.
Yeah, so she thinks. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But, you know, I was quite...
he likes to exaggerate.
I've been baptised in the Holy Spirit, and I was looking for really a church that really kind of went with that kind of sentiment, and the church at the time, it was called Marlen Church, Marlen Fellowship. They kind of had, they were into the Holy Spirit as well, and June had been baptised in the Holy Spirit that summer, hadn't you?
Yes.
In Elam Camp.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And you were looking for more of a...
Yeah, I'd been to old church for 10 years or more, Joe and I. And we just started getting itchy feet as twins, we did, around about the age of 17, 18 maybe.
And we basically joined together at that time.
By then I'd met Carl, and because of my Sunday school teacher, who was my RE teacher... I knew about the Milan Christian Church, and so I met Carl by then, so we all agreed to go and investigate this place together.
And that ended up being, we making that church home. And then we, I think within about 18 months of first meeting, we got married.
21 months, Carl. Anyway,
we got married in May.
Anyway,
we got married in May and we met in September. So anyway, you weren't there by
anyway,
now.
Anyway, I'm not even going there.
And has there like been significant God moments in your marriage? Has it been like smooth sailing?
No. You throw children into the mix. I mean, you know, Carl, I think, nearly had a breakdown with raising sons. I'm not even joking. I think he found it hard to cope.
In their teenage years,
I think he struggled with teenage sons. And early 20-year-olds, I think he really, really struggled, and I think it cost him dearly.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you said a story about housing.
Yeah.
You don't mind sharing that one?
Yeah. So we got married, and
which was a joke because we didn't have a anywhere to live. We were sofa surfing. We got married and homeless. My parents thought I was bonkers. In fact, my mother asked me why we didn't come and live with them, and that was the last place I wanted to live. The council did offer us somewhere, but I said in big letters, I don't want to live anywhere near my mum and dad. And where did they give us? A flat. Literally, I could look into my garden from this.
Oh, my God.
So we turned it down, which the church wasn't too happy with, because...
They thought it was a gift from God, but we didn't see it as a gift from God.
I thought you were mad.
And we sofa surfed for about a year, but we did have incredible peace, which was peace that it passes understanding.
It was fun. We were in love. We were young. You know, it was fun going sleeping on people's couches and house sitting and all that stuff. You know, it wasn't a big deal.
So we did, and we moved probably about six times in that year. Then we felt the Lord say, I'm going to give you your own house, didn't he?
Yeah, so Carl was stressing out, and but I remember just...
I'm not sure I was stressing.
You were a bit. I don't know whether it was a dream, but I just felt the Lord very clearly said to me one day, I'm going to give you your own home. And I vaguely remember seeing a picture of a key in the front door. So I shared it with Carl, and we didn't really do very much with that, did we?
No, we felt just God gave a word to it.
Mm.
But then we were walking down the street, wasn't we, going to some friends, and we looked in a estate agent, and we saw this house, a dilapidated house, on the market, And in those days, that was just in Tredegar Road. Mm. In those days, it was on the market. It's a big townhouse, like four-story one, but it was on the market for £20,000, which is a lot of money in those days. And there was something about that house that just leapt out at us, and we spoke to our friends about it. We all prayed, and we felt God say, "Yep, I'm going to give you that house, but I don't want you to do anything about it. Leave it with me." So we did. And I think it was a fortnight later, a friend,
church leader,
who was
Tony,
saw it as an investment opportunity. He bought it, and then informed us that he was going to buy it, and would we be interested? And it was that very house.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. That's a great story.
And what has been some of the trials in your relationship? I know you touched on it earlier about raising children, but has there been other trials involved?
Yeah. I mean, mainly me.
Yes. I didn't want to say anything, but...
So marriage will challenge who you are and your the way you live your life. And I'm not saying we're selfish, but we tend to have a way about us that wants to do it our way, and how we like it might be on money issues or just it could be even, you know, food, all sorts of areas, and how you know, and so marriage does challenge that in you, and and you have to bend to accommodate, basically, and that's not always easy.
Yeah, one of the things, and I'm sure Carl won't mind me sharing that, because he's changed a lot. I used to find him quite tight, and I didn't realise to what extent. And it was there before I married him, but when you're young and in love, you love forces you to, you look past certain things that are at the back of your mind. You question, you don't pay it too much, it's a voice, but you don't pay it too much attention until you find yourself in a situation where you're constantly being reminded. And, you know, it was a lot of pressure for him growing up, I just used that word, but we were kids, really. When I married, I was 21, very young. He was 22 and nearly 23. And but in some ways, I felt he was quite young. And you know, yeah, I never needed for anything, not really. But at the same time... he struggled in that department, but on the other hand, you know, always had a roof over my head. You know, there was always security there, that sort of thing. But Carl, I would say, has softened a lot over the years, and you know, marriage does that to you. It sort of knocks off your rough edges.
Yeah.
What would you say it is for me?
I think you're the perfect wife, Jim.
Don't crack me up.
And see, if you're a bloke, you've got... Your focus is to make your wife happy. Happy wife, happy life. Mm-hmm. So just say all the right things. I ain't going to do anything that incriminates me.
Carl, I said something, so please feel free. You can take it. I've got broad shoulders.
And was there, like, because you're obviously an interracial marriage, was there ever a time when you felt people treated you differently, or was there anything you learned through that, or I don't know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, because we love travel and stuff, that sometimes it's been, you know, a surprise in other cultures,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes even in Britain, it's a surprise. Like if you go to Wales or Scotland, and it's a silly, stupid thing, but you know, sometimes like we get on the motorbike and we go touring. But I knew there could be issues if June went in
talking about bed and breakfast,
mm-hmm. you know, because there is racism out there. And the often I would just go in, book the room, and they can't back out. Then.
Because we have been turned down when I've gone in with Carl. I'm sorry, you know. One of the reasons why we travel abroad a lot was because I got fed up of travelling to places like, other than London, and people staring at you as if you've just landed from another
planet. And they're not used to
even in Wales, I remember one girl, she said something quite rude. It was a young girl, and the dad said, oh, you know, she doesn't mean it. She doesn't know what she's saying. And I remember saying to him, Dad, you're her father. Shouldn't you be instructing her differently? I said, you've got a television. You know, I'm not some exotic beast. You know, and the conversation went like that. And we also went to a country. I can't remember. It wasn't Poland. I can't remember where it was.
Croatia.
We got off the bus. I don't
think they've ever seen a black
and
person.
And literally, the entire bus station just stood still and stared. And but then it can go the other way. We were in Israel. I remember 40 years ago, maybe less.
They loved you.
And I was like a superstar. I mean, I am not kidding. I could not go anywhere. Right. I mean, it helped that my hair was in braids and I had gold flecks in it. But which I did that, and that was something I discovered when I travelled, that if always put my hair in a beautiful style. Because it took the focus off your face and onto another part of you.
Right.
And so in Israel, and not just Israel, people wanted to take photographs with them. The army allowed me to hold one of their machine guns. I mean, it was just...
They've got the whole platoon around us. So they said, look,
They kept asking me if I was from America, you know, what film I'd been in. And then when we were leaving Israel, they do strip search and awkward stuff like that, leaving the country.
They wouldn't touch me.
And they would not touch me. And they wanted my autograph, is what they wanted. It was just such a strange situation. Yeah, so we've had both ends of that. Yeah.
And I think for a last question, what's the secret to a long-lasting marriage?
Making good history together and having good experiences, regular date nights.
Right.
Yes.
And having lots of experience, creating like history in terms of having, you know, I mean, the wonderful thing about marriage is that you get to share... a wonderful life, and share that with somebody. You know, it's all well being single, but you know, if you're up on top of a mountain enjoying something beautiful, it's much better if you're sharing it with somebody.
I would say for me, as Carl said, it's the road's been bumpy. Our children, at times, the boys have been challenging, and I mean challenging. We've had, throughout our marriage, we've had drama coming from all sides. At us, coming at us. Right. But we've just worked together, pulled together. Carl can lose his temper from time to time. I can lose my temper from time to time. But we try to be as honest as we can and open as we can. We're not perfect. He can piss me off. I can piss him off. But we try to work together. And we do have lots of fun. We enjoy each other's company. We enjoy travel. We both enjoy learning and that sort
walks
of thing.
Walks.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Thank you
June and Carl.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome.